speaker. Her name is Sheila J., and she will read the speaker's statement first.
I'm Sheila. I'm a recovering addict. Okay, speaker's statement. The NA member chosen to speak at a meeting needs to be someone who is working and living the NA program of recovery, which are the 12 steps and 12 traditions. In areas where there is not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and 12 traditions, there is the possibility that a group inexperienced in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic text for instance reminds us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distance to support new groups. The speakers help fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking at an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell excessively on our active addiction or war stories because we all know what it was like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, strength, and hope of recovery. What a great statement. Oh, God. Woo. I'm Sheila, and I'm a recovering addict with the knowledge of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions. Thank God for Narcotics Anonymous. And the topic of this workshop is recovery is what?
Not a one-night stand.
Okay, I got it now. I had to connect one night and then recovery. Now I got it. Okay. You know, I'm trying to get outside of me because I really didn't want to do this, for real. I just showed me that I don't have no power. God is always in charge. I was going to the comedy show anyway. But I thank God for my process. I'm going to share how I got here, and then I'm going to share what I do, why I'm here, and how I got right where I am today. I came into recovery not willingly. I came in because I wanted to escape jail. My bit was 3 days in central cell. I did my time. Yeah. Did my time. It was called Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Okay. Yeah, you know. man, you know. And I share that because I keep that right in front of me because, you know, I heard them other war stories of the good, time or jail stories or whatever they were. Anyway, and, you know, when I was out there using and, you know, running with doing what I was doing, I thought I was unique as well because I was the only one, basically, the people that I hung around didn't go to jail. You know what I'm saying? So I figured they needed me out there to show them how to do it because they kept going back and forth. And then they kept talking about it like I thought it was something real plush, you know. It had to be. They weren't scared to go, you know. And my experience came. Ooh, Lord Jesus. The worst and most humiliating experience in my entire life to be treated like that. You know, how a heck of a woman like me get there. And central cell wasn't cute at all. Holes in some steel with chains up against the wall and one toilet. And I decided when I was 18 years old not to eat pork, but shoot dope. Made sense to me. And central cell give you a bologna sandwich and some juice and an apple. And I ain't doing none of it. Oh, God. You know, and it's funny now. But that thing wasn't funny when I was experiencing it. It truly wasn't. And, you know, they were trying to say, give me 0 to 30, two felonies. I couldn't do 3 days, and they said they was going to break it down to 4 years apiece. I said, oh, no, what I need to do? So I'm telling you all right now, if you do anything illegal and I'm with you, just know I ain't going to jail for you. Because I'm going to tell it. You can call it what you want, I'm telling. Because I ain't going. Whew, Lord. You know, it's good I can laugh at that now. You know what I'm saying? And so, and how I got to Narcotics Anonymous is because I, you know, I did get off probation because I had never been in any trouble anyway. I just finally got caught because, of course, it was all, you know, it was my co-defendant's fault anyway. I say co-defendant now, but it was my boyfriend in the street. Yeah, if I ain't had that kind of, that ankle bracelet on me and stuff, it wouldn't have happened. It was all his fault, you know. My family said that, so I bought into that, you know. It truly was. Right today, he think he went to jail for me. Oh, no. He had plenty of felonies. They just used me to get him. And, Lord, I'm glad that it worked out the way it did. Anyway, you know, and I was trying to escape from, you know, going to do that time or whatever, and they put me on probation. And I went to this methadone clinic because I was ready to do anything I had to because I was trying to escape. I kept remembering that 0 to 30, and that thing didn't sound too good because my other people that were sponsors then, they were telling me all the good stories of the stuff I had to do if I went to the penitentiary. I said, they lost their whole mind. I'm not doing any of that. So I decided I went to the methadone clinic to escape. And I stayed in that clinic for 9 months. And I didn't have a clue. I didn't have a clue how to stay clean. You know, my environment there was awful. I had never experienced, going into any kind of treatment or anything. And that experience for me was horrible as well. And I was lying and, you know, same behavior. And I, I had my probation officer. He was asking me how was the meetings and all that other kind of stuff. And I told him they were fantastic, great. I ain't have a clue, but I had everybody sign in my car. You know how we do. Get the person to do what you need to do. And one day I decided to stop lying, because one of my defects as an asset today was nosiness. And I made a decision one night to go to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting because I got tired of lying. And that meeting was called The Night Time is the Right Time. And it was the right time for me. And I went in that meeting, and I sat back in that meeting. I heard people share their experience, strength, and hope. And it scared me to death. I said, they need to be here. They got problems. They got some issues, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, coming out of a negative environment, all I heard was negativity. I couldn't put together any, I couldn't put together maybe they was just trying to get better or whatever. It wasn't working. And it was scared me because I was like, oh, my God, this is some horrible stuff. What I want to be in here for? I need to be in the street. You know what I'm saying? So that's why today sometimes I'm very careful and mindful of what I say out of my mouth because a newcomer may not have no understanding, especially just coming off the street. And we talk about this is a loving and caring program and that it's a spiritual program. But if I hear too much horror and negativity, my spirit becomes drained. And so I kept, I thank God I kept coming back. And I'm glad the topic is that, recovery is not a one-night stand. Because if it was, I don't think I would have came back. Because I was just trying to escape from going, doing time. I didn't come in here happy, joyous, and free, and glad to see you all and wanted to be around y'all. Because really, I didn't want you hugging me. For real. You know what I'm saying? All that, I don't feel like all that. You know, all that hugging and all up in my face, no. But I had, because I like men, I like to look, that was pretty good. behavior, So I did that for a while. I came in. But I thank God that those people loved me until I learned how to love myself in that meeting. It's real important to get a home group. And I came to that meeting every night. And I was appointed a sponsor in that meeting. I say I found her, but I didn't find her. They told me, okay, that's your sponsor over there. She was totally the opposite of me. Thank God. I was off the wall, one, you know. Yes, indeed. That thing, you know, I still got this thing in me right here, you know. I still do all that dance and, you know, have a good time. And she was real quiet and, you know, and I watched her and stuff like that. And one good thing that I'm glad, because she was into the steps, that I didn't get a sponsor just because of name, just because of fashion, just because of sound effect. That does not impress me at all. It doesn't. Because I'm what I told you, my defect, that's an asset, I watch you. You know what I'm saying? And I'm one of those persons, anyway, you just can't tell me anything anyway, because I'm, you know, I got to find and research and research, and I'm going to try to see, okay, I'm going to prove whether you're right or wrong. You know, you just can't come and give me that story like that, because in the street I had to watch out for you. You know what I'm saying? So I kept coming back, and my sponsor, you know, I was reading the steps and all that kind of stuff when I was on methadone, because I heard you all sharing and stuff, and I was waiting, really, because I didn't think this was going to work anyway for me. I thought it might work for you all, but I didn't think it was going to work for me. You know what I'm saying? I was waiting to see whether you all was going to drop some stuff and all this other kind of stuff, because I knew you were lying. You know what I'm saying? And that was one of the reasons I kept coming back, too, just to kind of almost prove you wrong. But I'm glad my sponsor, that I started trusting her, that I had one person in my life that I really could trust, and I had an opportunity to see how she was living. You know, she was one of those people that she didn't come in here and do a whole lot of talking. She didn't. She was real quiet, and she was about taking care of her business, about changing her life. And that's what impressed me about her, that she came in the meeting, and she was very quiet, and when somebody asked her to, you know, say something or whatever she may, and then if she was always there to help somebody. And I can remember many a night, because, of course, I wanted to go to the dance. I like dancing. And she was saying, let's do step work. I was like, okay, dance, step work. Wait a minute, something wrong here. But I thank God that I made the decision that I wanted to change my life. My sponsor told me, she said, you don't have to have the same behavior in Narcotics Anonymous. You can do something different. And she made the decision to kind of enforce that. My sponsor didn't say just suggest some kind of stuff. Some days I wanted to punch her for real because it was kind of hard, you know, just the way she was delivering. But I knew she had my best interest, because I'm one of those persons for real that, you know, I was raised the only child, so the sun shined on me, stayed on me, and it was about me. Real simple, you know what I'm saying? So self-centered was, ooh, it was all right with me, you know. But I thank God that she showed me another way, that she actually showed me how to live and showed me how to do something different, showed me how to apply, not talk the steps, showed me how to apply the steps in my life. In everything that I do, because some of my experiences that I have had in recovery, it was only through an act of God, and it was only through the spiritual principles in my life, for real. Because I'd have been through some situations in here, and I've been on the NA newspaper, front page. Love that front page. Because the more I stay on the front page, the more I grow. They give me an opportunity to take a real honest look at myself, to find out exactly what I need to do to change. Because it starts with me and it ends with me. You know, when I sit down at night and do a 10th step and take a reflection of my day and stuff, right today I'm relatively happy. You know what I'm saying? But some situations that I had been in, I wasn't liking myself too much. Because I allow other people to dictate how my inside should be. You know what I'm saying? And, not today. Through the healing process, through the process of the 12 steps and understanding who I am and taking a real and realistic look when I wrote a fourth step to say, okay, Sheila, it ain't about them. It's about you being honest and thorough and sincere with yourself. Because I can mess up and I can tell you anything. But when I'm at home at night by myself, me and my Creator, it ain't nothing but the truth. Nothing but the truth. And I thank God for the women that's in my life. I truly do. Because I get an opportunity that when they ask me to sponsor them, that means, Sheila, you need to change too. how in the world can you actually carry a message if you can't live a message? You know what I'm saying? How? That means I have to be an example. I fall short, true enough, but I don't stay short. Because the seven steps said I can get humble. And I can do something different. I have to only humble myself for my Creator. It ain't about what you think about me. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm one of them real arrogant people. And I'll tell you what I feel. And some days, you know, some days I have to kind of be real, because sometimes I think it and I'll say it. You know, and I have to be very careful that, because, you know, I'm a very sensitive person as well. So I have to be very mindful of other people's feelings. I do. I really do. Because, you can't say anything to me, and I don't want to be saying anything to you. All that other stuff, whatever, my name is Sheila. All that other stuff, I have no understanding of it. That's not who I am. Now, if you say queen, we on top. We all, you know, I give you your king props if you, you know. Because I'm a lady today. And a lot of stuff I just don't take, you know. And sometimes it don't feel good when it's just you and God standing alone. Because folks don't understand your spiritual growth or your maturity growth. Because you all told me in the basic text, you said I should be happy, joyous, and free. And only it was only through the process of the steps. Because when I came here, I didn't think that I was going to stay clean. Today I stand here with 12 years clean. I didn't, you know. And it's only through God's grace. It's only through His grace because I was basically almost counted out, for real. You know, because when I came in here, when other stuff wake up, we're just going to say wake up. That's what we're going to say. And, you know, you have some folks, I'm not going to call them out of their name, but some folks, you know, they try to challenge you. You're a newcomer. You're looking all right. You know what I'm saying? You bringing it. Okay. So, you know, so I done heard a lot of stories how folks, you know, us women, emotionally unstable, and after we get there, you know, with the other person that we can't handle. That's not my story. That's not mine. They was doing a lot of sharing in the men's rap. I wish I could have been in there. You know what I'm saying? Because I understood when I made the decision in my heart, when my heart and my mind connected, I didn't want to use anymore, that I was willing. When I said, God, take my life, take my will, guide me in my recovery, show me how to live. You know what I'm saying? When I said that, I meant that to heart. Because I remember I surrendered. I was here in Ocean City. I had 11 days clean off of methadone. And relapse is not a part of my story, just for the day. Just for the day, it isn't a part of my story. Because I understand, and I read this in Relapse and Recovery, and it says, if I'm in the 12 steps and the 12 traditions, that I'm guaranteed not to use. That's in the book. It don't say maybe. You know what I'm saying? Because I done been through some emotional stuff in here. For real. It don't feel good. I'm telling you. It doesn't feel good when you marry to somebody and they come to you and you and the other stuff come to your house. How you practice the 11th step now with your good step self? You know what I'm saying? How do you practice the 11th step now? Do you allow God to come in or do you allow self-will to take over? Because folks was really, I believe they was really ready for me to ball up in a knot and just die. Just cry and boo-hoo and all this other kind of stuff. See, I'm one of those addicts that I understand everything is not for my home group. Because I may not be emotionally ready to give it to you because you may not be emotionally ready to handle it. Because I will fight and pray for you later. You know what I'm saying? Especially when I'm emotionally off balance. That's being real. And I keep my reality with me because I'll go. When you're scared, you know you're going to go. So I understand that I had to get with myself. I had to call somebody else because my Creator always speaks through somebody else. He haven't sat right beside me yet. But, he, you know, it's always another human being that I know that I can call to kind of give me that sense of calmness. that sense of peace to bring me right back into my serenity, to let me know it ain't worth all that. It isn't. Because God got you, baby. How you get here? Your Creator brought you here. It was no doing of mine. So I understand that it's not a one-night stand, that it's some work that has to be done, that it ain't about me running my mouth. It ain't about me. It's about me living. And when that situation came in my life, a lot of folks was waiting for me to really be off the chain. I prayed. I talked to my sponsor. I wrote. I seen the part that I played. I went all the way back to why I chose this person. All out of selfish reasons. You understand? And I understand today that they weren't emotionally ready for me. But it was like me trying to put a round ball in a square. You know what I'm saying? And I understand that some people in my life may not be ready. But I understand that I need to do what I need to do for myself. It's not taking anything from anybody or any of that. It's just that I need to always check me. I need to make certain that I'm in my space. You understand? Because and in the people in my life, when I was even going through that, I had good folks in my life. And most of them was my sponsees. Yes. And I'm going to say that. Most of them was my sponsors because I respect them and they respect me. And that's the part of bonding. We talking about sisters bonding. Because I can stand here right today and say I'm my sister's keeper. I truly am. Through trials and tribulations and errors and mistakes in my life. Because that means through the 12 steps I have learned how to grow, how to develop, and how to do something different. I am not an alley woman. No. I am not the same person that came in this door. My spirit is calm. For I like to have fun. I cut up. I'm serious. You know, all that kicking can and that drain, that energy and that stuff. I can't take it. A whole bunch of noise and yelling and screaming and, you know, I can't do all that. I'll leave you alone in a minute. I'm serious. It maybe has something to do with I'm getting ready to be 50. Is that what it is? Is that what it is? I ain't lying because I can't wait. It's on. 50 is on. You know, and I'm enjoying the journey. I'm enjoying the journey because I know I can. I have a sponsor that I can tell her mostly anything. Everything about me, she know. I don't hide nothing, bar none. You know what I'm saying? When I'm feeling all, you know, discombobulated, and I'll get in my truck and I'll drive to North Carolina. Me and her have a powwow. We go at it, up all night, have fun. You know what I'm saying? And I like that bond that we have. It's so spiritual, the connection. When we have a fallout, we still there. It ain't about, oh, I ain't messing with her no more. We talk about being mature. Because love don't always be, you know, hunky-dory at all the time. Can I weather the storm with the principles that I say I'm living? Can I do that? Can I be thorough and honest? You know, and I had gotten real arrogant because in that situation of that marriage and all that kind of stuff, you know, I had found out that I'm a very loyal person. Because when I'm your friend, I'm your friend. And when I'm in a relationship, I'm in a monogamous relationship. It ain't got nothing to do with you. It's me and God. Because when I go to bed at night, I want to sleep very well. And in that marriage, I slept very well. Then I got arrogant. But I understand because I was angry, disappointed. So I know today there's certain things that I need to do that I don't have to act up. I don't, you know. Calm my spirit. If you want to act up and do all that other kind of stuff, so be it. The next king will be there. You think he won't? Come on now. Because, see, I'm going to stop attracting them other folks. You know what I'm saying? You know, because I'm enjoying life. And I understand the process. That is not a one-night stand. I had to go through some pain, some joy. But this side right now, oh, I wouldn't trade it for nothing in the world. Because I'm having a ball. I told you I was trying to go to the comedy show. I need to laugh and act a fool. You know, I had just pulled up, just got here. So I was, you know, I was ready. It was on. I was going to see all the folks I ain't seen. And All that good stuff and had the 5 minutes. Oh, that's good. Shoot. I thank God. You know, I truly do. I thank God for Narcotics Anonymous. I thank God for being able to have the opportunity to this new way of life. And even the folks that sometimes, you know, I may not be all right with their spirit on that particular day, I can always come back and get something from. You know what I'm saying? I'm just enjoying life. I truly am. I don't try to let all that stuff get to me. And you know how somebody say, how you doing? I got to give him a long dissertation. I don't have to do all that. That's just time consuming. I don't have to do all that. Oh, I'm blessing her. Oh, no, that's tiresome. That is, you know. Ain't nobody ask you all that. Yeah, no, you know, you give somebody a compliment, they give you a whole dissertation about that. Just say thank you and move on. Now, cause the dumb is real simple. It is. It's very simple. You know, then when I hear the simplicity in somebody, it's like, oh, thank you. My spirit just calmed right down. It's just appreciating somebody that's really on the same spiritual path and same spiritual journey that can just give you a conversation without trying to give you a dissertation. Oh, I love it. You know, I want to thank the folks for even taking the opportunity to even ask me to do it, even though I was a little unwilling, but it was okay. You know what I'm saying? It helped my spirit as well. But I'll be celebrating my anniversary at the Mass Must Go. April the 14th, which is my home group, because we take the masks off. So if you got some masks, you might as well drop them off at the door, because they're going to eat you up in there. And but my clean day was March the 29th. So if you're in D.C. at April the 14th at 8 o'clock until 10 o'clock at 24, what's the address, Eric? 24 place. Come on. At the Trust Clinic, Lilia will be celebrating 16, and I'll be celebrating 14, and we're going to stay clean one day at a time. Thanks so much.
I'm Danny Hinton. I want to thank Sheila J. from Maryland. My next speaker is Melvin L. from Chicago, Illinois. And he's going to read the speaker statement first.
Speaker statement. Good evening, family. I'm Melvin. I'm at it. Speaker statement. The NA member chosen to speak at a meeting needs to be someone who is working and living the NA program of recovery, which are the 12 steps and 12 traditions. In areas where there is not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12-step and 12-tradition, there is a possibility that a group inexperienced in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic text for entrance reminds us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distances to support new groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking at an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts, recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell excessively on our active addiction or war story, because we all know what it's like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, strength, and hope of recovery. Once again, my name is Melvin, I'm at it. I'm clean today only through God's amazing grace. I need to always thank God for sponsorship, thank God for the fellowship as well as the program of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, this is interesting because they say that NA members chosen to speak at a meeting need to be someone who is working and living the NA program of recovery, which are the 12 steps and 12 traditions.
I got you.
I just thought I'd read that again. But whenever I'm asked to speak, I always read the last paragraph of Tradition 5. And it says, what is our message? The message that an addict, any addict, can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. Our promise is hope, and the message is freedom. No. What is our message? The message that an addict, any addict, can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. Our message is hope and the promise of freedom. When all is said and done, our primary purpose can only be to carry the message to the addict who still suffers, because that's all we had to give. On page 20, when it talks about step one, it said, our inability to control our use of drugs is a symptom of the disease of addiction. We are powerless not only over drugs, but over addiction as well. We need to admit this fact in order to recover. Addiction is a physical, mental, and spiritual disease that affects every area of our lives. What is our message? A message that an addict, any addict, can stop using drugs, physical, lose the desire to use, which is mental, and find a new way to live, which is spiritual. If you got a problem with the literature, problem with God, or you got a problem with sponsorship, only thing I suggest, you keep coming back. Because I got to talk about what's been blessing me and keeping me one day at a time. Our topic is, recovery is not a one-night stand. So I'd like to read December the 5th out of Just for the Day. It say, those who want to recover, we have seen the program work for any addict who honestly and sincerely wants to stop using drugs, basic text, page 10. How do we know when someone honestly and sincerely wants to stop using drugs? The truth is that we don't know, because we cannot read minds or know another's motives and desires. We simply have to hope for the best. We may talk to a newcomer at a meeting and think we'll never see them again, only to find them several years later doing well in their recovery. We may be tempted to give up on someone who keeps relapsing or doesn't get clean right away, but we must not. No matter how unwilling someone may seem, a simple fact remains. The addict is at a meeting. We may never know the results of our 12-step work. It is not up to us to gauge the willingness of a newcomer. The message we carry is a part of us. We carry it everywhere and share it freely, leaving the results to a power greater than ourselves. Just for the day, I will share my recovery with any addict, anywhere, anytime, and under any circumstances. I will leave the results to my higher power. Mm-hmm. You know, see, when they talk about recovery, it's not a one-night stand. First and foremost, I want to thank Almighty God for allowing me to be here. I also want to thank God for allowing everybody to get here safe. I see some people I truly love. I want to thank Rodney W. To God be the glory. Donna and Gayetta, we come down here together. And look, let me show you how awesome God is. We was riding, right? And we was trying to figure out the directions on how to get here. And we had went one way, but we was going the right way all the time. So I said, look, we need to just stop and ask somebody. You know what I mean? I ain't got no problem with asking nobody today. So when we asked, we found out we was going the right way all the time. So we had went so far, and then we wanted to stop to get something to eat. And they say you got to buy something in order to use the bathroom. I say, I sure be glad when we see some of us. You know what I mean? Then they can just guide us where we got to go. So we left there, and Gayetta said, well, there's a McDonald's right down there. We can go down there. So we went down there to get something to eat. And while we was in there, you know what I mean, we heard some brothers at the table, and the brothers say, well, this is not no religious, this is a spiritual program. I said, oh, yeah, that's some us right there. You know what I mean? And we went right over there and introduced ourselves, and them brothers guided us right in here. I believe they're from Washington, D.C., right? Y'all from Washington? Oh, West Virginia. Okay, thank you. You know what I mean? And now I see Tyrone, I see Charlie C., you know what I mean? That's some extra energy for me, you know, Crystal. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, Tim. You know what I mean? And if I don't call you by name, you know what I'm saying? What's your name, sister? Okay. If I don't call you by name, you know what I'm saying? You in spirit. And listen, see, they say this here, right? Recovery is not a one-night stand. Listen, let me tell you something about me. See, the reason I read that statement over again, then I kind of went over there and come back, and some of the people that know me know why I did that. You understand what I'm saying? Because a lot of time, you know what I'm saying, I ain't living the 12 steps and 12 traditions. You know what I mean? This like gives me, you understand, it gives you the impression, like when I read it, oh, well, he's living the program. You know what I mean? But listen, see, a lot of times, what I had to learn, see, the reason I like reading page 20, when they say we're not only powerless over drugs, but over addiction as well, because, listen, a lot of times I didn't use no dope, but look, sometimes I used a one-night stand and felt worse than when I used the dope. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, because, look, you be thinking this mic is a gift, but a lot of days this was a curse. You understand what I'm saying? Because listen, I said real good. You understand what I'm saying? And then I went. Oh, wait, I done prayed already. Look, see, I said real good. You understand what I'm saying? And then, look, Charlie, I had to go upstairs and break the message down. You know what I'm saying? I had to have a one-on-one. Yeah, I had to make it real clear. You know what I mean? This is what you didn't hear. You understand what I'm talking about? But when they left, I felt worse than I done used some dope. You know what I mean? See, it becomes a point when, look, you think you're using somebody else, but then the light come on and you find out how you've been using yourself. You understand what I'm saying? Because, look, let me tell you something I learned right in this room. When you think you're looking at one of these women, they've been looking at you. You understand? But they so clever, they'll have you think that you the one who's doing the looking. You know what I mean? Because scientifically, I figured out something. They can look up longer than I can look down. You know what I mean? So when I thought I was being clever, no. Because look, see, they got some crutches around here. You know, I could easily say, well, they say, well, Melvin, you know, you speak a lot of places. Why do you act like that? I say, well, you know, I'm still sick. Or I could say this. Say, Melvin, why you act like that? Well, you know, I'm an addict. That's because I hadn't got to page 61 at Works High and Why yet. Because on page 61 at Works High and Why, it say, when we are confronted with our character defects, either by our own insight or by someone we have hurt, we begin by taking complete responsibility for our action. We don't avoid responsibility by saying something like, well, God hasn't removed that defect yet, or I'm powerless over my defects, and that's just the way I'm going to be. You know, like I'm still sick or I'm an addict. We accept our responsibility for our behavior, good, bad, or indifferent. We no longer have our drug use or our ignorance as an excuse to be irresponsible. You understand what I'm saying? See, let me tell you something else I found out. Look, if you notice, you got people in here say, this is what they say, Tyrone, well, I got a program and I act like it. That might be your dilemma. You acting like you're in recovery. You know, you acting like you got a sponsor. You acting like you living the steps. Because look, it says in Recovery and Relapse, it says that you never seen no one who lived the Narcotics Anonymous program Relapse. Not act like they in Narcotics Anonymous, but live the Narcotics Anonymous program. So what I found out, there's a difference between acting and living. So I found out part of the dilemma was that I was in here acting like somebody I wasn't. And then when the truth hit me, it wasn't that you couldn't stand it, I couldn't stand it. So I had to go give me some help. See? It's some people that tell you what you want to hear, and that's the lie opposed to what you need to hear, and that's the truth. Because, look, let me tell you something else I found out. We're talking about recovery is not a one-night stand, but it can be. See, let me tell you something else I found out around here. This is what I found out. See, I found out around here that, look, when you be around certain people, the reason they give you the information that they give you, because that's all they got. See, a lot of times you can get with somebody, you understand what I'm saying? You asking them for something that they don't even have the ability to produce. Okay. You understand what I'm saying? Because around here, this is a growing process. This is a learning process. See, there's some things I learned how to stop doing around here because I wanted to be better because, look, it was either change or use. You understand what I'm saying? Because, look, see, You know, you have people tell you, well, let me tell you something, Tyrone, you're a dirty MF. You understand? Oh, I'm sorry. But what I learned around here, that don't nothing come out to you but what's down in you. See? If you don't remove that, somebody else is going to be an MF very shortly. Because that's in you. You understand? So what I found out is this. See, when you look, see, we talk about, you know, these defects. You understand what I'm saying? Like, they something to play with. But this is a dangerous and deadly commodity that we got. You understand? Because, listen, these defects, you understand what I'm saying? Look, it ain't just the dope. These defects will take you away from here, too. You understand what I'm saying? See, my sponsor had to tell me about, look, unaddressed character defects, unresolved issues, and untreated addiction. Now, check this out. I used to wonder. I said, look, why do they keep reading them same readings every time you go to the meeting? And now that we're at the convention, they still reading them. Well, let me show you what else I learned. I want everybody, you understand, because I like to get the group involved because I ain't nothing. You understand what I'm saying? We way stronger than together than I'll ever be by myself. Because we talking about the thing, the ties that bind us together. Are stronger than the ones that will tear us apart. As long as we remember that, all will be well. Now, I want everybody to do what I do. Please, just hold your hand up like this. All right. Now, do your hand like this. Now, I want everybody, you understand what I'm saying, to do what I ask you to do with your hand. Please. You ready? All right. Take your hand right now and put it on your chin. See, if you was listening to me, you put your chin down here. You see what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So that's why they keep reading these readings. You understand? Yeah. Because I had to learn how to listen. You understand? See, that's how recovery becomes a one-night stand. You understand? Because I don't have the information to go no further. See, you never know what you got until you have to use. And if you ain't got nothing, you got to use what's ever available. Let me tell you that again. You never know what you got until you have to use it. And if you ain't got nothing, you got to use what's ever available. And if you ain't got the information, then you got to keep going to the source. You understand what I'm saying? Of your consequences and your self-destruction and your disaster. Where's that? Your own thinking. Because that's how this disease shows up. It comes through my thinking. Shows up in my attitude and acts out in my behavior. You understand? So you got people that tell me, they say, well, look, Melvin, I know about, you understand me, untreated addiction because the two components of addiction is obsession and compulsion. You understand? Let's talk about addiction for 1 second. Check this out. They say I'm not only powerless over the drug, Tyrone, but over my addiction as well. You understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about the addiction is so overwhelming because what is an obsession? Obsession is a fixed idea that predicts, dictates, or controls one life of behavior. Just like the convention came up. You understand what I'm saying? I could be so obsessed, you understand, with the thought of an outfit for the convention, you understand, that I would ignore my light bill, my gas bill, and my rent. Because when I got on a nice outfit, y'all say, ooh, Melvin, you look so nice. You understand what I'm saying? But we talking about low self-esteem and low self-worth. We talking about feeling bad. See, low self-esteem tell me it's all right to hurt me, and low self-worth have me feeling bad. So whenever I got low self-esteem, you understand what I'm saying? I don't want to feel like I feel. When I feel bad, I want something to feel different. Or I want to do something to feel better. So I get obsessed with a thought, you understand me, outside of me. And I think that when I put on that new outfit and I say, ooh, Melvin, you look nice. I want to feel like that again. Because we're supposed to do self, you know what I'm saying, self-abstainable things. You understand what I'm talking about? But you ain't supposed to neglect your bills and be in the street. You understand what I'm saying? Because you want some self-seeking attention and put on a new suit. I ain't got that kind of money every time I feel bad to buy something new. So when I run out of that, I get to feeling bad, and you get to telling me, well, you mean tell me you keep buying them suits? You understand, buying them sweaters and them pants, and you ain't paying your bills, and then I get angry and resentful and call you a bunch of them funny names, and next thing I know, I'm in a dope house. Because the quickest ways to the dope house is anger, resentment, guilt, and shame. Guilt and shame come from low self-esteem and feeling bad. So we talking about obsession, though. Because when y'all tell me I look nice in this suit, I'm downtown tomorrow looking at another one. Now, wait a minute. We talking about recovering in a one-night stand. Now, I don't have the money right now, Tyrone. I don't have the money to get no new suit. So what comes to my mind now? I'm telling you, the overpower desire to get me another suit. Now I'm trying to find me ways and means to get another. So desperation set in. And I go back to the same behavior. She put her purse down. You understand? I'll take it right up in here. Because we're talking about these unaddressed character defects. Let me read something to you. Look what it say on page, the bottom of page 97 and the top of page 77 and top of page 78. It say, yeah, the basic text. We must relearn many things that we have forgotten and develop a new approach to life if we are to survive. It say, this is what Narcotics Anonymous is all about. It's about people who care about desperate dying addicts. Check this out. And who can in time teach them how to live without drugs. Now, we done put the drugs down. Many of us have difficulty coming into the fellowship because we did not understand that we had a disease of addiction. That's what we're talking about, addiction now. Mm-hmm. We sometimes see our past behavior as part of ourselves and not part of our disease. Now, what do that mean? That means you could be around here with some substantial cleaning time and talking about, yeah, well, you know I'm still a hoe. That's who you was when you was using. Once you come to the door, all that's behind you. That ain't who you is today. But if you still feel like that, you don't see it as part of your disease, you understand what I'm saying? You keep associating yourself with who you used to be. You understand what I'm saying? So you're talking about, well, you know I'm still a thief. Well, why are you still stealing? Because look, if you look in the dictionary at clean, the first definition of clean is the removal of dirt. The first definition of clean is the removal of dirt. How much dirt have you removed since you've been here? You understand what I'm saying? Now, wait a minute. Check this out. Now, we talking about untreated addiction. So, look, if you get with me and I got untreated addiction, I got unaddressed character defect, and unresolved issue, what more you think you're going to get but a one-night stand? Because you're going to get some addiction that ain't been treated. You're going to get some defect that ain't been addressed. You're going to get some issues that ain't been resolved. Now, look, Charlie, see, I done had some people tell me since I've been around here. Well, I know about untreated addiction. I know about unaddressed character defects. But what are unresolved issues? Well, let me show you. Everybody in here that's got a child, if you have a child, stand up. If you have a child. You're a parent, stand up. If you're not with the man or woman that you had the child with, sit down. Them unresolved issues. Yeah. And let me tell you something. Unaddressed character defects, untreated addiction, unresolved issues, that's a cold combination. That's what makes it insidious, cunning, and baffling, because you know what? See, when you got unresolved issues, check this out. If I get mad at Tyrone right now, and I hated my father when I got here, let me show you how strong a resentment is. My father passed in 1998. I didn't get here to, 1968. I didn't get here to 1994. That's 26 years later. You understand what I'm saying? But because of the unresolved issues with my father, you understand, every time that authority figure said something to me I didn't like, it wasn't him I disliked. I liked because he reminded me of my father. You understand what I'm saying? Whenever you understand me, I seen the resemblance because he got the same personality. I hated this person for no reason at all because he reminded me of my father. See, when I get upset, I don't see Tyrone no more. I see my father. And because I had the reserve, lost a job because of the authority figure. You understand what I'm saying? He reminded me of my father. Who do you think you talking to? I had the opportunity, you understand me, a cocktail. You ever let out a cocktail and say, psh. She had the opportunity to let a little air out. Who you think you're talking to, partner? You don't know who I am? But I didn't see him. I seen my father. And as a direct result of them unresolved issues, I didn't have a job no more. You know what I'm saying? When I got to the fourth step, man, look, when I got to the fourth step, that's the first time I realized that I had the opportunity to deal with hatred. You know how strong hatred is? It was strong enough to keep me in the alley 22 years. Kept me in the alley. Not only just being in the alley, it was a little stronger than that. Had me in the alley eating out the garbage.
Not the garbage.
Yeah, the garbage. Then had me in a condemned building and had me thinking living in a condemned building was all right. You talking about a one-night stand. Check this out. See, look, I told somebody one time, I said, listen, how come you think when I was using, funky as I was in the way I looked, how come you think every time I got a bag I could get a woman? First thing they say, because she wanted a hit. Oh, no, see, you ain't even scratched the surface. See, when I got the bag, the reason she didn't care how I look or how I smell, the reason I didn't care how she look or how she smell, not because we wanted no hit, because we had the same value system. Our value system was the same. You understand? And check this out. If you come up in here and don't change your value system, you'll still be looking for a hit. Yeah. You understand? Won't look at my thinking and behavior different because my value system ain't changed. See, I ain't acquired no self-respect. See, when I was on the street, you understand, in the alley, child, the reason I did what I did, the reason I didn't care nothing about myself, because I didn't have no self-respect. See, once you remove the self-respect, how can you have principles, morals, and values? I didn't gain none of them. See, look, let me tell you what's going on up in here. People come up in here, you understand what I'm saying? They be talking about, well, let me tell you what I lost. I lost my house. I lost my car. Let me tell you something. I lost my money. I lost my jewelry. You know, they think being restored, getting back that which once lost. They think when you get your chain, you understand, you get the little house, you get the car. If that was the case, what I'm still doing here? You understand? Because ain't none of this junk got no power. You understand? It might help you. I tell you what it do. It might have the power to work with your low self-esteem and insecurity for a minute. And then when you find out, see, some people, they didn't hear that. I said it might help your self-security and low self-esteem for a minute. You understand? And then, look, after that, you could have a ton of it on. Something in the past won't let it last. Don't bring it up, don't bring it up. That's when you know what I'm saying. You talk about Charlie High, you understand me, life jump out the business on you. Because you know it remind you of the stylistics. You remember when you was using? You was walking the streets like the children of the night. I'm walking the streets until I find someone who is just like me. Looking for some company. Yeah. Children of the night. You understand what I'm saying? And you could be up in here doing the same thing. You can be a children of the night right up in here looking for somebody just like you. Yeah. You can be up in here looking for one right up in here. You understand what I'm saying? This is what I want to know. You come to the meeting and you say, hey, Charlie, see, let me tell you something. What's your name, sister? Deborah. And you say, I say, hey, Charlie, see, you know something? Deborah crazy as a nut as a payday. Man, she gets on my nerve. But I don't never tell Charlie, see, one time what attracted you to her. You talking about her, but why was you attracted to her? Why was you there with her? If all that's wrong with her, what's wrong with you? Because you know what happens in here? You ever been to the emergency room?
Yes, sir.
That's like getting somebody out the emergency room. See, if you don't never let them get to the doctor, they can't diagnose what's wrong with them. At least let them try to get to the doctor, you understand, get to a sponsor or get to an experienced member, because they said the only hope we got is to face, the only hope we got is to face, to find somebody who faced our dilemma and find a way out. We don't even let them do that. We get them straight out the emergency room, and what happens is we don't know what's wrong with them. You understand? At least by the time they get diagnosed and they get to physical therapy, you find out what they're working on. You know what I'm saying? When you see them in physical therapy, you got some idea of what they're trying to deal with. You know what I mean? But if they don't never get to physical therapy, you don't know what's wrong with them. You understand what I'm saying? You done took them home and trying to figure them out. So you don't never know how many nuts on a payday till you take the wrap off. And then when you get home and take the wrap off, you go into a state of shock. And I'm going to tell you something else. And I ain't got but 5 minutes. So I'm at the point now, I got a little courage. Look, check this out. It's somebody right up in this workshop right now saying recovery, not a one-night stand. And check this out. After Sunday, you understand what I'm saying? You're going back to Miss Nobody. Or Mr. Nobody. Yeah. You got two more days than the one night. Yeah. Look at all this laughing. If I missed you, it'll come to you Sunday. When they tell you this, when they wake up in the room and say, where you going? You got to ride back? I came here with you. No, you know what this is. Yeah. And look, it's cool until Sunday comes. Everything all right till Sunday come. And you wondering how I know? Been there. You know what I mean? Yeah, come on. And I'm going to tell you something else. See, listen. It don't matter what nobody call you. That ain't the problem. The problem is when you answer to it. You understand? And a lot of times I answer to that. You understand? If you don't change your value system, if you don't change your self-worth, if you don't start telling a person what you want, if you don't start telling a person, see, let me tell you this. I got enough time for this. If you put a basketball in my hand right now, it might be worth 24 out. You put that same basketball in Michael Jordan's hand, it's worth 30 million. You put a baseball bat in my hand, it might be worth $16. Put that same baseball bat in Sammy Sosa's hand, it's worth 16 million. You put a basic text in the average person's hand, it's worth $10. You put this in an addict's hand, you got a priceless gift. You understand? And check this out. Check this out. Once you put your life in an addict's hand, you got to tell them what you're worth. Because if you don't know your true value, then they'll still treat you like you anything. Still treat you like you nothing. So if you don't change your value system, being treated like nothing will still be all right with you. Yeah. See, the one night stand will be all right. Matter of fact, sometimes it's a half an hour stand. It'll be all right with you. You understand what I'm saying? Because sometimes you feel so bad, just 3 seconds. You understand me? A pleasure. You think you all right just for the day. You understand what I'm saying? And you go the rest of the day feeling like boo-boo with a head on it. You know what I'm saying? Because a person only going to respect you when you learn how to respect yourself. You got to teach people how to treat you. You understand what I'm saying? You got to tell somebody what you're worth. And I mean, you got to just tell the truth, Charlie. You know what I'm saying? We didn't all turn flips before we got here. You know what I'm saying? So ain't too much you can introduce me to unless you got more than what you understand God gave you. You know what I mean? You know, then you know you might amaze me for a minute. And then somebody here going to tell you they ain't seen it already, so it ain't going to be nothing to them. You know what I mean? So you got to start telling people what you worth, because they ain't really, you know, if you just look at the truth, what can you really do beyond what we've been through to turn the addict on? What can you do? We done did it all. We done turned flips. You know what I'm saying? We done the people and the toys together. You know what I mean? You know. And look, some of our batteries is down. It's hard to put them jumper cables on us. You know what I'm saying? We need more than just a boost. You know what I mean? We need some more stuff with it. You know what I mean? So ain't too much you can do to satisfy, you know what I mean, to take us to another level. So you might as well just tell the truth. You understand me? Just come to us and tell the truth. Because listen, if you don't change your value system, people going to still treat you like you ain't nothing. And you're going to keep feeling like you ain't nothing because you don't learn your true value. You understand? You can't call and do anything with me no more. You know what I mean? Well, don't let me tell that lie. Sometimes you can. All depends on how I feel. You know, if I'm feeling bad, you know what I'm saying? I'm good to go. So I'm glad this is a day at a time program. You know what I mean? Because what I tell you I ain't going to accept today, I might go for tomorrow. You know what I mean? All depends on how my life going. That's why we need each other, man. You know what I'm saying? That's why we need each other because, listen, man, I'm telling you something. Believe me when I tell you this. We are the greatest people in the world that God have created. Let me tell you something, man. Your primary purpose got to be beyond a gold chain and a fur coat. Let me tell you how valuable we are, whether you believe this or not. God done appointed us. Our part of our assignment is to help save the world. You think I'm lying? I'm telling you, that's part of our assignment. You want me to tell you why? Don't nobody know why Mary keep walking the streets all day and all night but us. See? Don't nobody know why Pookie and Ray Ray keep doing the things they doing but us. You understand? Don't nobody know why Mary took on her mama's TV. We know. You understand what I'm saying? We the only people, man, that can help each other. You understand what I'm saying? Doctors can't do nothing for us. Scientists, therapists. You understand what I'm saying? That woman just signed a $1 million contract. And you know who I'm talking about. Yeah. Because, I mean, she might come up in here. You know, you should say her name. You know who I'm talking about. She in bad shape. You know what I mean? But we the only one can help her. You know what I'm saying? Ain't got nothing to do with money because if that's the case, she'd be all right. You know what I'm saying? So sometime on this weekend, say a moment of silence for that sister because she in bad shape. You know what I mean? And that just go to show you, man, how valuable we is, man. We can take this gift and do what doctors and lawyers and scientists can't do, man. God done gave us some power. We can take anywhere in the world, man, and help somebody. But you got to put yourself in the position to recover. You understand? What you keep putting that pen for? Hey, I'm going to hear Tyrone.